Good morning. This is September 20th, 1981, and I'm making this tape because I've been requested to do so. It isn't that it is something so profound, but we want to share with you some of the experiences that we have had in this area. There's been much discussion in the past few years concerning Bigfoot, or as the Indians call him, the Sasquatch, or as he is called in the Himalayas, the abominable snowman, or the Yeti. Science seems to have no answer for this, and the strange thing is there has never been found a dead one, there has never been one captured, and so therefore science knows very little about it. It has been a cause of great conjecture as to from whence they come, what their purpose is, why they're here, and I don't even claim to have the answers to it. But since we moved to Thompson, Utah, we have come in contact with this thing, and it has caused me to seek the face of our Father for a little more understanding concerning it. Let me go back and tell you where it began as far as we were concerned. Over a year ago, my daughter and her little friend, who was spending the night with us, were on the back porch. And all of a sudden, they heard the chain on the horse's corral rattle, which startled them. And my daughter thought, well, somebody's after the horses. At the same time, the other girl, Lorena, was looking in the other direction. And she became very frightened because she saw something that looked like a dim flashlight, only they must have been eyes. And the girls ran into the house and ran into the living room. They locked the door, and in just a couple minutes of time, the back door rattled, which really frightened them. And they ran into my room, and they said, there's something out here trying to get in. Well, of course, I flew out of bed. I saw nothing. I found nothing. But the girls were so frightened that one slept on the floor beside my bed, one slept on the floor at the foot of my bed. And I might add that there was a very peculiar, musty smell from it. Well, we didn't know, but we thought, oh, well, maybe it's Bigfoot. We'd heard people talk about such things. Well, nothing more was said, and time went on. And one night I went out about dusk to close up the chickens, and I heard this strange noise way out back of me. Now, mind you, there are no houses beyond my place. This is a very small town. It's wilderness area, really. And between me and the mountain, which is possibly a mile away, one of the book cliffs, somewhere out in that area, in that open area, I heard what I thought first was a terrible cat fight. And then I thought, no, there aren't cats fighting. That sounds like a big cat making a noise. And then it changed from that. And I heard this awful screaming. It sounded like a baby violently screaming. And you could hear it catch its breath and then scream again. And I couldn't figure out what it was. It lasted for a little bit, and then all was silent. One of my neighbors also heard it and had no idea of what it was. Well, time went on, and we didn't have any answer for any of these things. But then our boy and his friend went up in the canyon to camp. And they were camped near what is called the pictographs. It's some Indian paintings, which, by the way, were painted hundreds of years ago. And they're not just drawings. These are paintings in the canyon walls. And these Indians, we found out, were the Fremont Indians, the Fremont culture. And they were headhunters and cannibals. Anyhow, the Indians also knew about what they called the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot. But nobody ever seems to have any answer for it. Anyhow, the boys, the second night they were up there, their fire went out. And they were afraid to go to sleep because there are wild animals. And they knew there were coyotes around. But about 8 feet off the ground, they saw round red eyes. Well, they figured there was some kind of a big cat up on a ledge, but when morning came, they began to check out where they had seen these eyes, There was no ledge for anything to be on. There was a little stream there, and it was rather cool weather. There was a little ice along the edge of the stream and just a little skip of snow. And in this ice and in this skip of snow, they found the big feet with the six toes. Well, the boys were so frightened, we were supposed to go and pick them up in the afternoon. But the boys just packed up their gear and hiked down. They weren't about to stay up there. Well, we knew that what had happened then, we knew that somewhere there was a Bigfoot up there. And this is what the boys had seen. And immediately we connected this with what the girls had seen with the red eyes out here that looked like fake flashlights. So Bev, who has the cafe here in town, was talking to a man who had a sheep ranch out in Cisco. Now this is, probably 20-some miles from here, and it's out near the Colorado River. And she was telling him about the experience the boys had. And he said, I believe that. And he began to tell her then about the Bigfoot that had been on his property. He said one night he went outside and almost ran face into this thing. It apparently didn't see him, nor didn't hear him, until he came upon it, and it turned and fled. Well, of course, his first tendency was to be frightened by it, but he thought, well, why don't I try and make friends with it? So he tried his best to make friends with it, and he has seen it over there. He has been very close to it, and it got so it trusted him a little bit. But one day, a man came, a friend of his came with a dog, and he said that this Bigfoot grabbed this dog and just slit it open. And they rushed the dog to the vet. And the vet said that the dog did not die of its injuries. It died because of a poisoning that was in the nails of this creature. Well, one night he wasn't asleep. He was awake and reading and had his light on. And living way out in the country as he did, he didn't have to have window shades and curtains and so forth to cut everything out. And he became conscious that something was watching him. And he just turned his eyes up toward his window, and here stood one of them watching him. He said it must have been 8 feet tall. Anyway, he said that thing could have torn the window out, grabbed him, carried him off. It was so big. But he said they are the ugliest things that you've ever seen. They remind you somewhat of a big gorilla. Only the face is much uglier than a gorilla's face. And I think a gorilla is ugly enough. Anyhow, he's had these experiences with them. He has seen them dive headfirst into the cold waters of the Colorado River. And so he'd had quite a few experiences. And he mentioned to Bev, and he said, if you ever hear their cry, you will never forget it. He said, it sounds like a big cat, and then it sounds like a baby screaming. Well, immediately we knew then what we had heard out between us and the mountain somewhere. Well, all of this put me to pondering as from whence these creatures came. What were they? I still don't have all the answers. But at least I think I have maybe just a crack of light coming through on it. I began to question my father, and I said, Father, where are these things coming from? What is the purpose of them? Why is it they're never caught, they're never captured? They seem to be so elusive. Well, as I was pondering on all of this, one night, well, it was close to midnight. There are only about 10 minutes that I can't account for at that time. And during that 10 minutes, I had a vision, and I was standing in the back hall of our mobile home, and something was rattling the door. And I thought, I must find out what it is. And yet I was nearly petrified with fear. And so I cautiously opened the back door and pushed it open about, a foot, maybe 18 inches. And when I did, standing on the back porch, and I couldn't see it clearly because it was nighttime, but I saw the outline of it, and I saw the shaggy hair that grew down from its head, was one of these Bigfoot. Well, from deep within me, there sprang up these words, "In the name of Yasu." And it disappeared, and I came out of it. The thing puzzled me. I could find the meaning of Yah. This is part of the name of Yahweh. And the scripture even uses the term Yah. I could find this, but I could find absolutely nothing for the last syllable, the S-U. And I pondered it many times, and I thought, well, now maybe it's a name that Bigfoot would understand. So finally I wrote to Brother John Green, and I asked him if he had any light on it, if he could give me any information, because I know he's a Hebrew student, or I should say a student of Hebrew. And he wrote back to me, and he said he could find nothing in the Hebrew except the first part of it. But the latter part, he could find nothing in the Hebrew. But he related to me that in China, the name is Yashu, which was what I used, was very similar to that, which is Yasu. And I had wondered for a long time if it didn't mean Yah of the Sioux. I thought maybe it's even connected with the Sioux Indians. Maybe it was a different spelling than S-U. And I pondered it much. Well, then when he wrote, things began to clarify. And he mentioned in his letter that this Bigfoot or the Sasquatch or the Yeti had believed to have originated in China, which naturally would give some understanding of why the Spirit of the Most High within me had said in the name of Yasu. It was a name that that creature knew. Now, we wonder, where did they come from? I do not claim to say that I have the full answer on it. I only want to give you something for your pondering. The scripture speaks about the pit being opened and about spirits coming out of the pit. You've read it in the book of Revelation, and we have spiritualized it as some unseen force of some kind that is let loose from the pit and come out upon the earth to torment the people of the earth. May I propound to you that it may not be some unseen force. It may be creatures out of the interior of the earth that are coming out to terrify the peoples of the earth. And certainly Bigfoot has managed to terrify a lot of people. But we have to know our ground, our spiritual standing, and how to combat these things. I am grateful for the experience that we have had, although I do not ask for it to happen the second time. Once is enough to suit me. But if it does happen again, at least we have a little more light now than we did when we first came here and knew nothing whatsoever about this. Now, in connection with these creatures coming out of the interior of the earth, I would like to suggest that you get hold of the book, The Hollow Earth, and a companion book called The Smoky God. Now, I can't tell you exactly where you can find them, but begin to inquire and see if you can locate them. You will find that in the book on the Hollow Earth, that even Admiral Byrd, in his exploration, found an opening into the earth, but he was not allowed to publicize it. I suppose our government figured the population of our country would panic, and this could well be. But in The Smoking God, you will find the account of a man and his son who sailed into the interior of the earth and the things that they saw there. Let me stop a moment and turn this tape over. The interior of the earth, this man and his son saw gigantic beings. Everything was huge, far bigger than what it is upon our planet. So could it not be that these creatures are coming out from the interior of the earth, and they come permeated with some kind of a supernatural spirit? And this is the thing that makes it so uncanny. No one has been able to capture it. No one has found a dead carcass of them. They seem to be elusive as far as man being able to conquer them or capture them. This man in Cisco was telling us about a friend of his who was herding sheep up in the Book Cliffs. Now, mind you, the Book Cliffs run for miles through Utah and over into the edge of Colorado. We live right here at the foot of the Book Cliffs. He said this man was herding sheep in the Book Cliffs, and he saw a whole family of Bigfoot. And as he could, he followed their tracks to see where they went. And he followed them as far as a great crevice in the earth, and they stopped there. Apparently, they went into this crevice. And he said that when their home, or their place where they stay, is found, they disappear. For some reason, nobody knows, but when you locate their dwelling place, then they leave and go elsewhere. I am wondering if they didn't descend into the interior of the earth through that great crevice. There are many openings in the earth into the interior that we know nothing whatsoever about. There are lakes that they cannot find the bottom of. For instance, where the Loch Ness Monster has been seen, they cannot find the bottom of that lake. There are other lakes that they are not able to find the bottom of. Why? Do they go into the interior of the earth? Is this where these creatures are springing from? I'm asking the question. Perhaps some of you have some more light on this, but we need to be aware in the hour in which we live that we are faced with something more than natural powers. We are faced with supernatural powers that man has no answer for. The only answer is the answer that we can get from Yahweh, the help that we can get from the Most High, the wisdom that He can impart, the knowledge that He can impart, the strength, the anointing, the spiritual weapons with which we can combat these things. What does the scripture mean when it said there'd be terrible sights upon the earth? These things certainly are terrible sights. They say they are the most hideous things in their face that you could ever imagine. They are grotesque. From whence then do they come? I feel in my own spirit that they're coming out of the interior of the earth, and they're coming to terrify the men that are upon the earth. There are men that are trying to find them. In fact, in one of the recent weekly magazines or papers that is printed, there's a picture of one that a man took of this great hulk of a being. It's kind of a shadowy picture, but at least it gives the shape of this being. It walks upright, but oh, they are the most stinking things. They've got such a musty, awful smell to them. This in itself indicates to me something very, very unclean, unholy, unrighteous. And yet I will go a step further. For all creation must be loosed from the bondage it is in, and these beings are of some creation. I do not know their origination, and I'm talking now about the time span. I do not know how old a creation they are. But we must have light and understanding on these things to know how to combat it. At the present time, until we have further light as to their release, the only thing we can do is stand in the power of the Most High against these things. Let me come back to this name Yasu again. As a child, I felt a deep yearning in my spirit to go to China as a missionary. Of course, at that time, that's all we knew. You went to these countries and you preached the gospel to these people, and that was it. Then, as I grew older, a door almost opened for me to go, but my health would not permit it. And then, as I went on and learned more and more in the scripture concerning the plan of God, I found that I did not even want to go to China at that time. I believe the time will come that I will go. In the kingdom purposes of our Father, I will go there because he has spoken that to me. But I find that there has been a preparation in my life through the years concerning China. For instance, when I was filled with the Spirit, when I was yet in my teens, the Spirit spoke Chinese through me. It is very interesting that he spoke Chinese through two of my brothers, and he often spoke Chinese through my mother. I think this is all preparation. As the years have come and gone, I have pondered this. But when I was brought up face to face with this monster, this creature called Bigfoot, called Sasquatch, called Yeti, when I came up and faced this thing, here the Spirit of the Lord spoke a Chinese word through me that being knew and understood. It recognized the name of Yah Tzu. Yah, the I Am, the Yahweh. This is my name. He said, my name is Yahweh. But it was spoken in the Chinese language that this creature understood. Little did I realize in the years of preparation that my desire to go to China would involve such a thing as combating unknown creatures with the Chinese name of our lovely and wonderful and glorious and powerful Yahweh, Yah Tzu. And that thing knew it and recognized it and disappeared. We must realize and recognize the hour in which we live is a terrific hour. It's an awesome hour. It is wonderful and yet terrible. We are going to be faced with things that we have never understood before, and we are faced with them to give us light and understanding and knowledge. Out of the Orient are coming many forces in these days. Particularly psychic things are coming forth. Who knows, maybe these great creatures are used even in some psychic manner by a power that they don't even understand to come against us. And we are going to have to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Most High. What I have told you is only to relate to you some of our experiences. Perhaps some of you have had similar things. If so, I would be interested in hearing it. Contact me. Let me know what you know along these lines. Because none of us has all of the light at this present time. I am sure we are coming to the place where, as the scripture says, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. As yet, no one of us knows everything, but we're combining the light and the understanding that he has given. And in this light and understanding, we are moving forth as a conquering armor. We're going forth conquering and to conquer. May he bless this to your heart in a special way.